Bible. Brother Derek mentioned these in Sunday school. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, two of the greatest mothers in the Bible, Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. The Bible says over in Ezekiel, says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And we're going to learn this morning about the influence that mothers have. And the title of the message this morning is Mothers Make the Difference. Mothers Make the Difference. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse, number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, he's talking to Timothy, got this, all this faith, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. I'm going to stop right there. Don't you think it's kind of odd that Paul mentioned, Timothy, you got all this faith in you. All this faith. And he said that faith dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice. I read about this man that said he got real wild, and most people who are atheists become atheists for a moral reason. And to get rid of your consciousness of God, you think, well, if I could just get it fixed so I could sin and not feel guilty about it, then it'd be great. So they try to rid God out of their mind. And this guy said, I couldn't become an atheist. He said, because every time I just about become an atheist, he said, I could hear my mother praying for me. And he said, I could feel her hand on my head. And he said, it wouldn't let me go. And that's basically what I'm going to say about mothers this morning. Ladies, the future and destiny of your child depends largely on the work of a mother. Every girl turns out, usually, 9 out of 10, turn out just like their mother or worse, unless God does something for them. They rarely turn out better than their mother. Rarely. You know, if a mother rises so high, a daughter will come up to that or worse unless God does something for them. That's how much influence mothers have. Mothers make the difference. Now, I will say three things about it this morning, and we'll go. First of all, mothers make the difference in the home. Wouldn't you agree with that? Mothers really make the difference in the home. There is no babysitter. There's no nanny. There's no live-in maid that can do the job with a kid that its real mother can do. Nobody. God made it that way. God fixed it so that nobody can take care of a child like its real mother in a normal situation. Somebody said here a while back that they asked this woman what she did, and she said, oh, I'm not really nothing. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And they got to figuring around and trying to get some figures on that. And somebody said, well, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you know you're a little bit of a counselor, and you're a little bit of a teacher, and you're a little bit of a psychologist, and you're a little bit of everything. And they figured out that if a woman got paid for what she does at home in 1 year, her average salary would be $117,000 for 1 year. That's just what they do at home. And I don't doubt that one bit. I don't doubt that one bit. What do they say? Man works from sun to sun, but woman's work, what? Never done. That's right. And they said that she had to be a counselor. She had to be a doctor. She had to be a teacher. They asked this mom one time. They came up to her and said, Mom, don't you ever get tired of doing dishes? And she looked back and said, I'm not doing dishes. I'm building a home. I'm not doing dishes. I'm building a home. You know, America was a lot better off when women raised their children, cooked the meals, wash the clothes, and I know they're above that now. I know they're too good for that now. Nobody winds up doing it. But listen, we were a lot better off when mothers were mothers. She said, I'm not a mother. I'm not a slave here. I'm a domestic engineer. As he mentioned in Sunday school, when you were little, most kids are little, when they get hurt, a kid comes, don't go there, Daddy. I never went to my daddy when I got hurt. He would say, oh, you're all right. That ain't what you want, is it? You go to your mama. When you get hurt, I remember one time, me and my friend was riding a bicycle built for two. And he got off, and don't never try to ride a bicycle built for two by yourself. I was wobbling, riding that thing, and I was on the front of it, and I turned in his basement, and when I turned in his basement, it was David Hicks, my neighbor from over there across in the Hoppy Tom, and I turned over and wrecked that thing, and I fell, and there was a sharp piece of metal on the water heater, and I tried to grab myself, and it ripped. I mean, it cut me from here to here, just opened up. And man, I remember going home, going up Hoppy Tom, holding it, felt like it so it wouldn't be so bloody, and I remember Mom set me down. There again, Daddy, I never went to Daddy when I got hurt. I'd be afraid he'd do me like his dogs. He sewed them up with a needle and thread. And didn't even take them to the doctor. He didn't have no pity on you, man. But Mom, she would sit there, and she'd say, "You all right, honey?" And she'd hold you and all that. That's what makes the difference in a home, that mother. Nobody can do that like your real mom. I mean, you want big old tough boys, when they get hurt, they want mama. That's right, they want mama. They want mama to pet them, because nobody else can even do it. I'll never forget when we were little, my mom, sitting back there this morning, would take me and my two sisters, and she had all three of us on her lap, like this. All three of us. And she'd read us a story. And when she'd get through it, I couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old. And Mom would read us stories, and we'd say, "Read another one. Read another one." You know, there's just something different about a woman reading a story, your real mama reading a story. Nowadays, they say, "Well, here, I got you a Barney video. I'll just stick this in, and I'm going to go in here and watch the Late Show." That's what they do now. But back then, they would set you on their lap. There's just something about that. You can't replace that with a CD. A DVD player don't do what the real mama can do. Ladies, this morning, you get that kid and you teach them the Bible. Teach them the Bible. My mom taught me there's a God when I was little. I'll never forget. I don't doubt one bit that I'm saved and a preacher today because of the influence of that lady sitting right back there this morning. She taught us all kinds of stuff. You ladies, you have no idea. Your kids' mind's like a tape recorder. And everything you say, it just sticks in their mind. My mom, when I was little, my sister sitting back there this morning, she can tell you, Mom always told us, she said, "Treat people like you want to be treated." I ain't never forgot that. I ain't always did it, but I never forgot her telling me that. And it had an influence on me. Still, to this day, when I start to do something, I think, "Well, would I want somebody to do that for me?" And it stuck in my head. Treat people. And she was teaching the Bible there, whether realizing it or not, do unto others as you would have them do. That's what Jesus said. Ladies, just little things like that go a long way in your kid's heart. I remember Mom telling me when I was little, I don't know if Debbie remembers this, but Mom told us when we was little, she said, "Don't take a bobby pin that ain't yours." She said, "Don't." I never forget her saying that. She said, "If it's not yours, don't take it." Don't. And she told us, you know, kids have to be taught that. Kids think nowadays, "Boy, if I find something laying around, if I want it and nobody's looking, I'll just take it." Mom beat it in our heads. She said, "Don't take a bobby pin that's not yours." You remember her saying that? What is a bobby pin? Some little things they used to stick in their hair? Why in the world anybody want to steal one of them? I have no idea. But Mom always said that. She said, don't take a bobby pin that ain't yours. I said, "Well, I don't know. If I ever see a bobby pin laying around, I'm not touching it." My mom told me, "God would kill me if I touch a bobby pin that ain't yours." I've never had a desire to steal one of them things. But seriously, that got in my mind. That got in my head, and it got in my heart. It sure did. And to this day, I was somewhere not long ago and put a quarter in a drink machine or a candy machine and all kinds of money come out. I mean, tons of it coming. And I got to look around. I thought, "I've got to give this to somebody. It's not mine. It's not mine." You say, "Well, you..." And I got to thinking of all the times I'd put money in there and didn't get nothing. I thought, "All right, payback." But Mom said, "Don't take a hot bobby pin that's not yours. Don't take a bobby pin." I heard about, y'all heard Mose, his testimony here a few weeks ago I didn't know I was going to mention this, but just a few weeks ago, he was talking about his mom, and his mom probably taught you the same thing mine did me. He was at a restaurant in Marion and walked out and found a little makeup bag and thought, well, somebody dropped that, and opened it up, and there was $1,000 cash in it. $1,000 cash. Raise your hand there, that man right there. And $1,000 cash. And he called me and said, brother, I found $1,000. I said, Lord have mercy, man. I said, was it got anybody? And there was a name in the purse. There was a name in the purse. You say, boy, I'll tell you what. If I found that, it'd have been my lucky day. Yeah, but what about that other person? What if you lost it? You ever lost money? You get sick, don't you? And he tracked that lady down, took him about 2 days, went to the police department, and finally tracked her down. And brother, he found that lady and took her $1,000 back and witnessed to her. That's what my mom taught me. You say, that's old fashioned, but God in heaven is watching that kind of stuff. And God's keeping the records. And that's the influence of a godly mother. You can't beat it, brother. You can't beat it. To this day, boy, I tell you, if something ain't mine, I don't mess with it. I'm telling you, I don't mess with it. If I go sit down with somebody and they get the buffet and I don't get the buffet, I don't feel right even eating a bite of their biscuits. If they're going to throw it away anyway, when we get ready to leave, I'll eat a bite of it. But I don't think, it just ain't right. It's just not right. My mom put that in me. My mom put that in me. Ladies, you don't know what a job you've got to put it in their hearts. You know what mom said? Mom said when we was little, she said, you can like anybody if you'll learn their ways. I'll never forget her saying that. She said, you can learn to like anybody. People said, I just can't stand old so-and-so. Mom always said, if you get to understand their reason for being like they are and how they was raised, and how you can learn to like anybody. I never forgot that. And that here pastoring the church, I've been pastoring the church 30-something years, or 31 this coming July, and I've never forgot that in dealing with people. You can learn to like anybody if you'll learn their ways. You know what else she said? She said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Hell is an awful, awful place. And when I was 14 playing in a rock band, and 15 I quit music, played basketball, and 16 and 17, and I remember coming home from ball games at night and guys doing things they wasn't supposed to be doing, and they were cussing and drinking and all that stuff. And I remember in my heart and in my mind, it was always in there, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Hell is an awful, awful place. Let me tell you something this morning. Hell is an awful place. Hell is an awful place. And you ladies cannot do anything any greater than teach your kids there's a heaven and there's a hell and there's only one way to get to heaven when they die. You can't do anything any greater than that. I know we're living in that day. I know Hillary's going to save us and solve all the world problems and all that kind of stuff. But listen, a lady cannot do anything any greater than turn their children to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something this morning? I know we're living in a time when people doubt the Bible and say all religion's the same and all that kind of stuff, but there's only two explanations for us being here. There's two explanations for us being on this. Either we got here by accident, by ourselves, or somebody put us here. Either somebody made the world, or it got here by itself. There ain't no other way out. Unless you use the hippie version, which is it ain't really here at all, you just think it is. And you've been smoking some bad dope, if you believe that. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we either got here by ourselves or somebody put us here. And if you believe the whole thing got here by itself, you got more faith than all of us in here put together. There's no way this whole universe can come out of nowhere by itself. It can't make itself. There's got to be a creator. You see this watch I got here right now? That watch right there? That's... all the kids like that watch because it's got the bling. Say, Brother Danny, the bling. But I paid $9.99 for that watch. Down at the Burlington store down there in Charlotte where I get my clothes and stuff. And I tell you something, that watch right there, that watch is each perfect time. I only paid $9.99 for it. And that thing, it's got all kinds. There's not a scientist at UNC or NC State or Duke would believe you if you said that there was a couple of screws laying on the table, and somebody kicked it over, and by accident, they all came together and started working and keep perfect time. Nobody believed that. Did you know you know how we set this thing? By the universe. You know how that time set? By Greenwich, England. And you know what Greenwich, England set by? It goes by the sun. And that's like, do you think that happened by accident and keep perfect time? No, if there was no God, it would be chaos. It would go to disorder. Everything goes apart, left by itself. So thank God there is a God in heaven. And that lady back there this morning, thank God she taught me that when I was little, before I got up and got educated out of my faith. The only way you can be an atheist is be educated out of your faith, because nobody's born that dumb to start with. Ain't that right? Mothers make the difference in the home. I never, ladies, listen. Never remember coming home, my mom not there. I never, ever remember coming home when my mom wasn't there. Never do I remember coming home from school one day when my mom wasn't home and had us something to eat. That's how I learned, like peanut butter and jelly, grilled cheese, hamburgers. I won't eat mustard to this day because she didn't put mustard on our hamburgers. She had better sense than that. Banana sandwiches. Man, there ain't nothing better on a summer day than a banana sandwich, brother, and some Doritos or barbecue potato chips. I mean, she made pork and bean sandwiches if you can't afford some meat. How many of you ever eat pork and bean sandwiches? Potted meat. Now we're getting down to the redneck level where we are. But that's right. Mom taught us that. She didn't teach me any potted meat. I acquired that on my own. All these Yankees come down here and want to know what liver mush is. Poor, ignorant people. Don't even know what liver mush is. It ain't no wonder they can't speak English. I'm gonna tell you, liver mush is whatever else. Lips, tongue, eyes, eyeballs, gums, ears, whatever, with a little flavoring in it. And it's better than steak, buddy, when it's cooked right. Mothers make the difference in home. Secondly, let me say this right quick. You say, we was going to go eat a big dinner. You said that. Number two, mothers make the difference in society. Mothers make the difference in society. You don't believe that? I can prove it. You ever heard of Thomas Edison? He said, my mother believed in me at a critical time in life. And Thomas Edison gave his credit to his inventions and all the things that he did to his mother. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. Abraham Lincoln said the same thing. Abraham Lincoln's mother died when he was just 8 or 9 years old. And she said, Abraham, she called him Abe, said, Abe, son, you do what I've taught you. You stick by your daddy, and you go to church and live right. And Abraham Lincoln said, I never got away from what my mother taught me when I was 8 years old. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, said, all that I've accomplished, I owe to my mother. Scientists and doctors and preachers have all come from great mothers. Society this morning has sunk so low because women have allowed it to say, you know, men's so sorry and low down wicked, they'll go down just far as women will let them. Ain't that right? Women control the moral tone of society. They sure do. If they'll stand up and say no, men, you know, would be a little bit better, but they won't. But thank God mothers make a difference in society. The old saying is, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. I was going to tell you about the mother of Samuel, Hannah, and was godliness. Her godliness lived on in her son Samuel. Elizabeth in the Bible, she prayed, and John the Baptist was the greatest born among women because of his great mother that he had. All of us know the story of Moses and his mother. One of the greatest mothers in the Bible was Jochebed, Moses' mother. She had that little baby that day, and she looked at that little baby, and you know what? In her time, it was the law that all Hebrew babies be killed and thrown in the Nile River. And boy, they were killing them. It was against the law for a Hebrew to raise a male baby. She had this little baby boy. You think we're living in tough times. You think we're living in hard times. You think the public schools are bad now. They were killing them then. She grabbed that little baby and held it in her arms and said, the devil's not going to get you. Pharaoh's not going to have my boy. I don't know what I'm going to do. Dear God, please. Dear God, please. She didn't say, well, if I don't get him off on the babysitter, I'm going to lose my job. So I'm going to wait till he's 2 weeks old, and then I'm going back to work. I mean, you know, if you have to live, that's one thing. But, Mother, she took her responsibility of raising that child. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this and make some of you mad, but good. You know, I mean, you got to grow up sometime. Might as well do it today. There is nothing you can do any greater than raise that child and learn to serve God and do right. I understand the time we're living in. I understand it takes several incomes to run a household. I know that. I know you got to do what you got to do. But there ain't nothing more important. You'd be better off buying a bicycle at a trade lot, a flea market, and staying home with them and teaching them than you would be buying the nicest stuff and never see them and not be around your kids growing up. I don't know if you've ever heard this saying, but it said, for whatever reason, the influence of mothers is often the most powerful and lasting influence in many people's lives. An old Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. They asked the preacher one time, said, how many preachers in your family? He said, four. And he said, me and my brother and my other brother. He said, which one's the best? He said, Mom, she's the best preacher. That's right, brother. That's right. My mom preached to me my whole life. She preached us my whole life. She preached us. And I mean, she preached sermons. And she preached. They said James Madison in 1751 was left fatherless when only a small boy, his daddy died. He fell entirely being raised by his mother. Andrew Jackson, a military hero, 7th president of the United States, said, quote, the memory of my mother and her teachings were the only capital I had to start life with, and on that capital I have made my way. You say, where do you get all that stuff? You don't learn history in a public school. Public schools don't teach history. They teach a biased version of history, leaving out the Christian faith. Just study the Bible and church history to get real history. John Newton, they said London sailor preacher, was the means of turning men by the thousands to Jesus. Among the many that John Newton touched, there was one man named Thomas Scott, cultured, scholarly, moral, didn't need a Savior. But Scott came to Jesus Christ. And Scott, as many of you know, by tongue and pen, swayed thousands of people to the Lord Jesus. Many that Scott touched, there was one man, the reverse of Scott, a wicked, wicked man, too bad for God to save. But Scott, through the power of God, touched a man by the name of Cowper in 1730s. Cowper found out about a fountain filled with blood. He wrote that song and is used by God to save thousands of people. Cowper touched a man by the name of Wilberforce. In 1759, a clever Christian statesman who was a lay preacher in the old school, Wilberforce touched thousands with a great middle class. Wilberforce touched a man by the name of in the Church of England named Richmond. He was changed. Richmond knew the story of the daughter of a milkman in an adjoining parish. She had an unusual touch of the power of God. He wrote her story. It went on down to John Newton. John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace, and it all started back when somebody's mother said the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, and taught their children the Bible. You can't do nothing more important. You see, kids are smarter than you think they are. One mama said, here, son, I ain't got time to read you a story. Listen to this tape. She said, them good stories, listen to this tape. And he said, but I want one that I can cuddle with. You can't cuddle with that CD player. That DVD player can't put his arm around you and say, I love you. Kids are smarter than you think. I'll never forget. I heard this story about these little kids. You know, you go to the kid doctor now. All doctor's offices used to be just ugly. Now they sort of try to decorate them up, put colors in there and animals in there, and everything for kids. And little kid goes to the doctor, and he hates the doctor before the doctor. He just sits there on the ring like that. He's got all these Disney characters in there, and the doctor bends over, and he tries to get on the kid's level. And he takes that thing, looks at his ear, and he said, is Mickey Mouse in your ear? And the kid said, no. What's wrong with you? Crazy. Why would Mickey Mouse be in my ear? And the doctor's trying to relate to it. The doctor looks up at me. He said, open your mouth. He said, is Donald Duck in your mouth? He said, no. Crazy. The doctor looked down. He said, I want to listen to your heart. He said, is Barney in your heart? Kid said, no, Barney's on my underwear. Jesus is in my heart. So you can't, you know, we think kids are so dumb. We think they're so dumb. They're a lot smarter than we think they are. Mothers make the difference in society. They're like, I'm going to say this right quick and I'm through. Mothers make a difference in church. I preach in a lot of churches. And I preach in churches from Florida to way up in Connecticut, all the way out to California and back down and, you know, and to Texas and back around. And every church you go to is at least two-thirds women. And there's a reason for that. Women normally are just better people than men. Normally. It was a woman, Jesus' mother, who was at the foot of the cross. The disciples all took off and got backslid. It was a woman that was the first one to the tomb the morning that Jesus rose from the dead. It was a woman, Mrs. Edwards, who at Nebo prayed for 6 days and nights and fasted in the revival that I got saved in. She said she'd done without food for 3 days. And she said, God, do something in our community. Nelson Nebo, and I was running up and down the road in my little MG and had the top down. Never give God too many thoughts, except when I just get under conviction or scared once in a while. And I figured I'd probably wreck that car or something. And I was running up and down that road, and Mrs. Edwards prayed for 3 days and didn't eat a bite. And when she got through, God said, go 3 more days. She went 6 days and nights and didn't eat and pray. And me and some boys was playing basketball over in Nebo at my cousin's house, and I felt something in my heart. And I remember feeling bored. And I remember feeling like, I'm tired. And about that time, a friend of mine said, did you hear about so-and-so that got saved? And I said, got saved? I didn't even know what get saved meant. I knew it was something where you, something religious, joining the church. I didn't even understand what it meant to really get saved. Born again. And I started, and everybody in Nebo knew me. Everybody in Marion knew me. And I'll never forget. I think there's more to life than this. I remember thinking there's more to life than just getting up, eating. Did you ever feel that? It's called conviction. And I remember thinking, there's got to be more to me being here. And I remember when I was a little kid, I always thought, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be. And that night I went to that church. And my cousin was standing right here beside me. You've heard me tell it. My cousin Mike. And that night people started going to the altar and crying and praying and crying and praying. Man, I was so nervous. My hair was long. I had an old pair of blue jeans with a flag sewed on them. I was a mess. And I stood there, and this girl turned around to me, and she said, Danny, why don't you go get saved? And I sort of got mad at her. It was embarrassing. And I said, ain't my time to get saved. And my heart was going like this. And everything she taught me started coming back. And the Lord got a hold of my heart. And that night, I was sitting on this side, back there about where Miss Linda Ritchie and Charles are sitting. And I punched him and I said, let's go. Because see, I thought the devil said, now if you get out of here, if you go up there and get saved, people's going to talk about you and they're going, it's, and, you know, you ain't going to do that in front of all these people. And then the voice on the other side said, yeah, and what matter is it going to make when you're in hell screaming? And I love you, and I want you to be saved. And I punched him, and I said, let's get out of here. He went, I put one foot in front of the other, another, and I fell down on my face. 45 minutes later, about it, I got up, and I was wiping tears. I felt like I got a bath on the inside. I'm telling you, from that day this, I've not always been the best Christian in the world. I've made many, 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 many mistakes and don't claim to be nothing. But I have never been the same from that night to this. And they ain't no doubt in my mind it's because my mom's sitting back there this morning. No doubt. I preached up in Louisville, Kentucky Friday night and I did a video presentation on the second coming on signs of the times. And there was a man sitting over here on this side of the church,
with a nice tie on, dressed real nice, looked like a businessman. And I thought, boy, he ain't gonna like this, because I said some political things and I said a lot of stuff. And I said, well, Lord, get a hold of his heart. Nice dressed man. You could tell he was had a nice job, and it was just by looking at him. And Friday night when the service is over, he came out and I shook his hand. He said, thank you. He said, something happened to me in there. I said, what? He said, I don't know. There's something happened to me. I said, maybe you need to go in there and talk to the pastor. Next thing I know, I was packing up all my equipment because I had to drive all night coming home. And him and the pastor were sitting over there. Next thing I know, they was in the floor praying. And the pastor got up. There was about 30, 40 people still left there. And he said, hey, everybody, we'll make an announcement. And he called his name and said, so-and-so just got saved. Just got saved. And I shook his hand. I said, hallelujah, man, that's great. He'd been to church for a long time, but never really been saved. And I went down the road thinking about my Mother's Day message this morning, and I thought, that fella up there, I had at least two or three people come up to me up there and said, I saw you. One lady come up and said, we saw you on the internet. So then she said, we've been thinking about moving to North Carolina and coming to y'all's church. She said, it's so hard to find a good church up here. Two more girls, probably in their 20s, come up to me and said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, nope. They said, we used to come to a youth camp when we was little, and God done something for us. As far as I'm concerned, we get letters now from all over the world, different countries and everything, that hear sermons on the internet. As far as I'm concerned, when it all comes out and it all comes down, Mom, I care. Deserves the credit. I've seen thousands of people say, but I sure didn't deserve it. Y'all know me. If it wasn't for her, I'd been worse than my daddy. Thank God for my mama. Mothers make the difference. If your mother here this morning, you better hug her neck. If she's not able to be here, she's in another state, you better call her. Appreciate them while you got them, kids. Love them while you got them. They won't always be here. If you're here this morning, you are a mother. Or you're a son. The best thing you can do for your mom is hug your mom and look her right in the eye and say, Mom, I will meet you in heaven. I know I'm ready to go. Because you'll break her heart if you don't. Let's stand for one prayer.